welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
Good morning, everyone. So I'm sorry I can't be there with you in person, but I hope you get as much out of this video that I've pre-recorded and sent along as you would with me there in the room with you. And we're going to continue this morning looking at our values, looking at the rocks that we are built on, that we stand firm on, and continuing from what Julian started last week as we looked at the foundation, the rock that we stand on, that we stand on Jesus and his truth is revealed in his word. And Julian wonderfully explained how that impacts everything from what we preach, what we sing, actually, but how we do life, because everything is founded upon not good ideas, but what Jesus has declared, what Jesus has spoken, inspired by his spirit through individuals throughout the ages, but by his word. And we're going to continue. So we looked at truth last week, and this week we're going to look at his presence, actually, that we are founded on the rock, which is Jesus and his presence. And so if you've got a Bible and you'd like to turn with me, it'll come up on the screen in a second, but we're going to be reading a story in Luke 5, 17 to 26. And as I read this, I want you to think, actually, what does this tell me about Jesus? What does this tell me about how I am to respond to Jesus? Because it may not be straight away obvious how this has anything to do with the presence of Christ. So let's read it. It says, "One day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay before Jesus. When they could not find a way in to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, 'Friends, your sins are forgiven.' The Pharisees and teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, 'Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins except for God alone?'" And be careful what you think when Jesus is around, because this is the next bit. It says, Jesus knew what they were thinking. Of course he did. He's God. "And asked, 'Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is it easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.' So he said to the paralyzed man, 'I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home.' Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, 'We have seen remarkable things today.'" So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that you would come. You'd come by your Holy Spirit. You'd come and refresh us again this morning. And God, I pray that you would fill us. God, I pray that we'd know more of you. God, I pray that you'd make us thirsty for you. You'd make us hungry to be with you, just like this paralyzed man. God, we ask you to bless us this morning, and that you would make this word come and be fruitful in our minds and our lives. Amen. So, what we have here is we have a group of guys. And day in, day out, they would be asked by their friend who was paralyzed. We don't know whether he was born paralyzed or whether he had an accident. He fell off the back of a donkey and broke his back. We have no idea what happened. But what we do know is that he is paralyzed now. And his friends, day in, day out, would take him to the street corners to beg for food, to beg for money, so that he could live, so that he could provide, so that he could have something. And we don't I don't know if it was the same street corner or he had a variety of them. But anyway, they would come. He'd ask them to go somewhere and they drop him off there, and they come back at the end of the day and they take him home. And this day, though, was slightly different. You see, this day they come and they pick him up. Let's call him Fred. That's the first name that came to mind. So they come and they pick up Fred and they go, "Right, come on, Fred, we're gonna carry you to your usual spot. And Fred says, no, I don't want to go there. What are you talking about, Fred? You always go there. You have to go there. No. You see, I've heard that there's this guy in town. His name's Jesus, and he can heal. There's stories of blind people being able to see when they meet with Jesus. There's stories of people who are deaf being able to hear when they've been with Jesus. There's people even who, just like me, couldn't walk. And when Jesus touched them, they were able to walk. I want to meet this guy. I want to see this guy. Because I don't want to keep going to the corner. I don't want to keep living life how I was. I don't want the life to be mundane, just how it has been. I want life to change. I want life to change and be different. And I want to encounter Jesus. So please take me to Jesus. And so they, all right. You know, the guys look at each other. They pick him up. They go, all right, okay, I'm going to carry you somewhere. Let, might as well carry you there. So they carry him. And they get to the place where they find out Jesus is. And there must have been this almighty sigh when they go get there. And they realize Jesus is inside this house. But there's people everywhere. How on earth are we going to get Fred inside there? The doors are blocked. Even if we could get inside, there's going to be no room. There's people every single place. And then one of them has an idea. Maybe it's even Fred sat on the blanket that he's on, the mat that he's on. He says, go up there. Go up there. What do you mean on the roof? How are we going to see Jesus on the roof? Well, maybe we can just get a bit closer and we could hear him better. So they climb up on the roof. And also, one of them has the idea of, right, let's start. This tile is loose. This tile's loose. Hey, it comes up. Oops. Oh, this one's loose as well. This one's loose as well. And they start ripping it up. And it must have been a sight downstairs. You know, they're listening to Jesus. And then all of a sudden they hear the stamping of feet above them. And, you know, some are getting distracted and wondering what on earth is going on. And some of them are thinking, right, we're going to concentrate. Just keep on concentrating. Keep on thinking what's going on. And then all of a sudden, and as they're trying to concentrate on what Jesus is saying, then all of a sudden, the dust starts falling down. Maybe they're looking up. Maybe some of them get stuff in their eye because the dust and stuff is falling down. All of a sudden, there's not only daylight shining through the roof, but there's a guy being lowered down in front of them. I mean, these guys are reckless in their pursuit of Jesus. They had to give Fred so wants his life to be changed, and his friends so want his life to be changed. They not only think outside the box or think outside the house and go up on the roof, but they have no regard of the fact that they are destroying someone's house. I mean, if I'm down there listening to Jesus, no, it's great. Jesus has come to my house. He's spending time in my house, teaching my house. This is great. This is wonderful. And then all of a sudden, what are they doing? Someone's wrecking my... They're wrecking my house. They're wrecking my house. But they don't care about any of that. Fred doesn't care about any of that. His only concern is he wants to be with Jesus. He wants his life as he knew it to change. He wants it different. He knows something else is on offer. There's something better. And he wants to meet Jesus because he knows that if he meets Jesus, things might just be different. His life might just be different. And Jesus there sees him. And whilst others are kind of angrily kind of growling and, oh, who's this person, being like, oh, this paralyzed person, whatever, Jesus starts smiling. And Jesus says, you're forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Basically, you can have a relationship with me. You can have a relationship with the Father. You see, every single one of us, because of our choices, because of the way we've lived, because of since Eden, where our first parents chose to do things their own way, chose to live life, chose to make the decision that they would decide what was right and wrong, what was good and evil, and not God. There's been a chasm. There's been a division between us and God. We couldn't be with God. We couldn't live with God. We are separated from him, from his presence, from everything good that God has to offer. We are separated from him. But God steps in. God didn't want it that way. God doesn't desire it that way. God wants you. God wants me. God wants Fred. He wants a relationship with us. And so he comes after us. He runs after us, He himself, Jesus Christ, stepped down from his throne room in heaven and came to earth, lived the life we could not live, died the death that we should have died. And in that, we get the great exchange of having his perfect, holy life accounted to us, and that he lived, and our dross, our sin, being put on him at the cross, so that we can know him, so that we can have a relationship with him. And see, he saved us. He saves Fred here. He forgives his sins. But he didn't just do that so when we die, we can go to a nice fluffy place in the sky called heaven. No. He did it so that now, today, you could know him and his presence. You could know him and his presence. So let me say, are you desperate to be with Jesus? Fred was desperate to be with Jesus. He was desperate to be with him. He knew his life needed to change. He knew that the best thing that could possibly happen to him was to spend it with Jesus. Are you desperate for him? Are you desperate for his presence? You see, our vision, our value as a church is to be a people who have a loving, personal relationship, intimate relationship with God. And with that, we are a passionate community of worshippers, hungry to experience and not just merely know about his presence, but daily worshipping him in spirit and in truth. See, we want to be a people. My desire is to be a person, a Christ follower who loves Jesus, who loves him. Yes, reads his word, gets into his word and meets him through his word, but doesn't just know about him, know what he's like, know his grace, know his forgiveness, know that he wants to live a life through me, know that he wants to be with me. I want to actually experience that. So often we as Christians, we can say, yes, we know these things are true. Well, have you ever actually experienced Jesus in your life? Have you actually heard him speak to you? Have you actually felt his touch? Well, no, but I believe it can happen. I want to be a church. I want us to be a church that sees him, that knows him, that experiences him, doesn't just know that it's possible, but experiences him. Are you desperate to be with Jesus, to meet with him? David Lloyd-Jones says this. He says, the most vital question to ask about all who claim to be Christians is this. So do you count yourself a Christian? This is the most vital question, he says. Have they a soul thirst for God? Is their life catered on him? Do they press forward more and more that they might know him? Are you pushing forward? Are you desiring him? Are you thirsty? Are you longing for him? See, Jesus himself, when he was born, when he came from heaven and entered into human history with the animals, the angels cried out, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Like I said, God with us. So as soon as you know Jesus, as soon as you come into a relationship with, that's what we call it. Being a Christian is having a relationship with God. It's not about, right, thank you, God, for saving me. See you later when I die. You know, that's all sorted. That's all wrapped up. We're all good. Okay, now I just live life. No. It's about living, knowing the privilege and joy of living with God life. Having this life to the full in the power of the Spirit, this Zoe life, not just bios, this being alive. When Jesus says, I came to give you life, he says Zoe, which means life, which means like, wow, life. That's what it means to have life in the Spirit. Not just bios, which means literally like, you know, my pulse is ticking and I'm breathing and I'm living. But no, it's so much more. So what does life look like in the Spirit? What does it life look like? What does it look like to be a Spirit-filled church? Well, if we read the Bible, especially like the book of Acts, we see things happen, don't we? When when we read about what the church was like, we see, like, at the day of Pentecost, we see speaking in tongues, we see prophecy, we see preaching in the power of the Spirit. We see later on in Acts, we see healings, we see people being raised from the dead, we see miraculous signs and wonders happening, we see prison doors being earthquakes causing prison doors to open, we see angels leading Peter out of prison. We see amazing, miraculous signs and wonders. Let me say, I want signs and wonders. I want worship times where we have prophetic words brought. I want to have worship times where someone speaks in another language. It's not just interpreted by someone else, but actually I want to have times, which I've heard of, where people speak out in a different language and someone from that nation walks in the room at that moment and they hear the gospel explained to them in their mother tongue and they fall on their knees and confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior. I want to see people raised from the dead. I want to see people having chronic diseases that no doctor knows how to deal with, just instantly healed. I want to see people be able to foretell what's about to happen. I want to see the spirits discerned. I want to see everything, all those things happen. But when we read the book of Acts and when we read the Gospels, actually, quite often we can miss this thing. Okay, we can read the day of Pentecost. I think, wow, speaking in tongues, you know, the prophetic, the Peter standing up and seeing thousands of people saved with his words. But we can miss just before that. In Acts 1:14, it says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus with his brothers. We can miss that Peter, just before he walks miraculously out of prison, the church were gathered together and praying and worshipping God. And as they are praying and as they are worshipping God, an angel comes, wakes up Peter, takes him out of the prison. You know, we can miss the fact that yes, Paul sees a church planted in Philippi. He's after being let out of prison. But we can miss the fact that him and Silas were there just worshipping their God, singing hymns, singing songs, worshipping the God. And then all of a sudden, boom, an earthquake. They, rather than running, they use the opportunity to speak truth, to speak life into the jailer, and him and his whole family become believers, and a whole church is started in that town. See, what I'm saying, guys, is, do I want to see the miraculous? Yes. Do I want to see people speak in tongues? Yes. Do I want to see people raised from the dead? Yes. Do I want to see people healed? Yes, yes, yes. But Jesus is the goal. Jesus is and always will be, always should be, the goal. See, the signs are there to point us to Jesus, to point us to him, to lead us to him. See, that's what the Holy Spirit does. It awakens in us a need for Jesus, a need for a Savior, and points us to him for salvation. But when we live in step with the Spirit, he's constantly pointing our lives to Jesus. And we read this in the scriptures. We read this in Luke 5:15. We read, you know, that Jesus has just healed a load of people, and it says great crowds gathered to hear him and be healed of their infirmities, but he would withdraw to a desolate places and pray. See, there's tons of people who have been healed, but there's loads more who want healing, and Jesus, rather than healing them, he goes and prays and pray. What are you doing, Jesus? You could heal so many more people. You could have helped so many more people. What are you doing? You see, Jesus, he wanted to help. He wanted to heal people, but he knew the most important thing was the relationship with God. His relationship with God, and he would withdraw to have time with the Father. You see, our goal is always Emmanuel. It's always Emmanuel, God with us, time at the Saviour's feet. And what we see when we read the book of Acts, when we read Jesus' ministry, actually the miraculous aren't something they shoot for. The miraculous are an outworking, a result of their time spent at the feet of the Saviour, time spent in his presence. As they spend time at his feet, they're given a heart for the lost. They're given a heart for the destitute. They're given a heart for the sick. And they're motivated to pray. As they spend time at the Savior's feet, the miraculous becomes second nature. They spend time at the Savior's feet, they are given boldness. So as they walk down the street and they see a lame person, they say, "Silver and gold, I don't have any, but in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." And that isn't so the person go, "Whoa, I can walk now." No, it's so they can go, "How did this happen?" Only through Jesus Christ. I want to give my life to him. Because better than being able to walk, better than having a healthy life, is a life lived in the presence of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, are you desperate for him? Are you desperate for a life with Jesus? See, Fred, our friend on the mat, he was desperate. He couldn't go another day living the same mundane life. He needed, he wanted, he couldn't bear a life without being with Jesus anymore. Let me say, some of you, I've been Christians for many years. And maybe you've got used to the mundane. Used to not spending time with Jesus. Let me say, are you hungry? My prayer is that this morning that you would be stirred again in your very inners. To be stirred. Hungry. Thirsty for Jesus. To not settle for what you've got. So let me ask you, have you been filled with the Spirit? Have you been filled with the Spirit? When we see the Apostle Paul, when he goes from town to town, when he arrived in Ephesus, there was already a church there planted by Apollos. He arrives there and his first question was, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Let me ask you, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because when I'm finished here, I'm going to invite Julian up. From here, you know, from the video. I'm going to invite him up. Sorry, couldn't resist. Julian, wherever you are through there, you're going to invite you up. And you're going to, and he's just going to encourage you. And the musicians are going to encourage you. If you haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit, if you haven't filled the Holy Spirit, you could be filled right now. Be filled right now. But even if you have, the Bible says that this isn't about a one-time event. It's not about, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1994, and that was me. I haven't met with Jesus since, but I was baptized in the Spirit then, so therefore I can tick the charismatic box. No. Paul says, keep going on. Keep being on filled. Keep going. Let it be a daily occurrence. We don't just drink water once and then go, right, I've drunk water, that's fine. No, we keep on drinking, otherwise we die. Basically. Yeah, we die. We're to keep coming to the fountain. Keep coming to the fountain. Because he changes everything. He changes everything. So I'd like to encourage you to stand right now. And I'm going to pray and then Julian and the worship band are going to take it from here. But I encourage you, meet with God. Don't leave this place without meeting with God. And I encourage you to pray. Pray for a hunger that means that even that tomorrow when you wake up, your desire is first thing, I want to spend time with Jesus. Tuesday, the desire is to spend time with Jesus. And as you do that, as we do that, as we spend time with our Jesus, as we spend time with our Savior, you know what? We might just see some of those signs. We might just see some of those healings. At the end of the day, it's all about Jesus. Those things are there to point to Jesus. And yes, I really want them, like I said, but I want them because I want people to be pointed to Jesus, to be saved, to be reminded of how great he is. So why don't you stand, raise your hands if you're comfortable. I'm going to pray. And then Julian and the worship guys are going to take it from there. So Jesus, you are welcome here in this place. Send your Spirit. Spirit, thank you that you point us. God, you point us to Jesus. You point us to the Father. Spirit, we invite you now. where some of us may have never been filled, where some of us may not even know you, I pray, God, that you would come and fill us right now. God, I pray that you'd make us hungry for Jesus. You'd make us thirsty. God, you'd give us an unquenchable thirst for Jesus. God, that every day we'd be longing to spend time with him. You, Lord God, and in that, as we do that, you'd give us boldness. You'd give us boldness to speak your name in the power. God, you'd give us a heart for the lost. God, you'd give us a heart for those who are grieving, for those who are hurt, for those who are poor. God, and you'd move us to pray. You'd move us to act. God, and you'd fill us, Lord God, with your spirit so that we may be sent from this place to see your gospel grow, to see your kingdom come. Lord Jesus, we long to see your glory. God, send your rain. Send your Holy Spirit rain upon us. Make us thirsty for us. And then, Lord God, as we seek your face, as we seek you, Lord God, bring in a harvest. Bring in a harvest like the day of Pentecost, Lord God, as your people are worshipping and praising you. You outspill, you outpour onto the streets. And we want that for this town. Outpour, Lord God. But start with us. Send a revival to this town, to from Fleetwood to Lytham, Lord Jesus, from South Shore to Poulton to Kirkham, Lord God, send revival, God, and start with a thirst for you from your people. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.